All right. So we're going to talk about helping counselees who must care for their parents. I thought of this verse. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And when you stop to think about some of the people that are aging, they are kind of the least of these, and they're going to need our help. So, you know, as we look around, we see people aging, and with medical advances, we have people living longer than they used to. So we shouldn't be surprised when our parents or our family members need help. Here's some information I found on a website, and I included that in your notes, the link for that. When a person requires someone else to help him with his physical or emotional needs over an extended period of time, this is long-term care. This help may be required for many of the activities or needs that healthy, active people take for granted and may include such things as these: walking, bathing, dressing, using the bathroom, helping with incontinence. You know, there's a whole long list here. Meeting doctor's appointments, providing meals, transportation, help with meds, making repairs at the home, snow removal, just all kinds of things that need to happen. And we actually do that for the widows here in our church, or the invalids. So Johnny Kajir's, he's our youth pastor, and he has a force, and they go out and they just take care of them. So it's just wonderful that they do that. And they love doing it. They just love doing it. Estimates by experts say that at least 60% of all individuals will need extended help in one time, in one or more of the areas above that we just talked about. The need for long-term care may only last for a few weeks or months, or it may go on for years. It all depends on the underlying reasons for needing care. I did give you the link on there. So, you know, I have had women come to me for counseling because they were put in the position of being a caregiver for their parent. And this situation does present spiritual challenges. So in our time together, I would like for us to address some of those spiritual challenges that a caregiver, a counselee might face, and how to help your counselee view this as an opportunity from a biblical perspective. And then at the end of the session, I'll just share some of my story. My mom has dementia, so I'll share some of the things that I've learned. So we want to help our counselees think through the situation and discover how the Lord wants them to respond to this opportunity. So we need to think about God's commands. We are to care for our parents and our grandparents. 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 4 and 8, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. And anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And then Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother. In Matthew 22, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So it's clear from Scripture that we are to care and honor our parents as they age and they need help. And then we really need to help our counselees take the long-term view of what God is up to in their circumstances. So through these circumstances, God is helping them to develop perseverance and dependence on Him. I want to hear from you all. What are some challenges you think your counselee might face if they are put in this situation? Whose home she stays in? Her grandmother is staying with her parents, and her grandmother thinks it's her house, and she's in charge. You may have children at home. You're managing your own household, and then you've got your parents to take care of. The other family members that kind of fade into the background. The timing of things. When should they stop driving? When should they move in? When do they need help? Yeah, they want to be in their own home. They want independence. Yeah, physical exhaustion for the caregiver. That is so true. The grieving of just watching your parents decline. When you don't live close by. Y'all are doing so well here. These are all things that I've put in my notes. You may be working full-time and in a demanding career, and they just need more time. Yeah, just waiting for that phone call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wondering what's going to happen next. Just all the plans for the future. All this is in your notes, so yes. The plans for the future, when you think you're going to retire, you're going to get to do things, and life changes drastically. Second. Financial responsibility. Yeah, right. Yeah, just the medical aspects, things that you may not be trained in that you're going to have to learn how to do to take care of them. Just being put in that position where your parent may not want to take care of their parent, and the grandchild has to step up, and you know, what role do you have, and how hard should you push, and so on and so forth. A lot of legal aspects that you were just not prepared for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they get Alzheimer's and they just forget. They forget their bank accounts, they forget doctors, they become stubborn. So, yeah. Speaking from experience. Yeah. Thank you for your input. Those were excellent. An already busy schedule due to taking care of their own home and family. She may have small children at home. I'm just going to use the she because that's all I counsel her she's. Okay. Unless I'm with my husband and then we do a they. So anyway, a full-time or even a part-time job outside the home, and they may have a really demanding career. My sister happens to be a CPA. This is tax season, you know, so. Distance. You may not live close to them. Lack of finances to adequately care for the parent, and maybe they didn't plan well. Maybe they don't have things in savings. Maybe a strained relationship with the parent. There could be some unresolved issues, and they resent having to take care of them. A lack of understanding of what the parent is going through. You know, she may be in denial, like, what's the matter here? I know you're capable, you can do this. Unsure about bringing her parent into her home or if she should look for a nursing home for her parent. Feeling distressed about not being able to adequately care for her parent. So we need to interpret life biblically. We can walk through some key passages with our counselee that will help her interpret what she's going through. A place to start may be in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 is a great chapter. He starts off and he talks about all these wonderful things that are happening for us. You know, we have an inheritance. We're a living hope. Our living inheritance will never perish, spoil, or fade. Just wonderful things. But then he also says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So, there are wonderful things coming in the future, but Peter explains to us that we will experience trials in order to prove our faith genuine. We have to view trials and their purposes. I probably sound like a broken record. I say that in every session that we do, but God has a plan. You know, this side of heaven, we're going to go through trials, but they have a purpose. They have a good purpose. Romans 8:28 and 29, we know that all things work together for good. These truths in these verses help anchor our souls during the storms of life. God, in his wisdom, love, and sovereignty, he has permitted these circumstances for his glory and for the good of his children to conform them to the likeness of his son. So she may feel overwhelmed by her circumstances, but she has to believe that God will give her the grace that she needs so that she won't succumb to fear or self-pity. So I think of 1 Corinthians 10:13. I use that pretty frequently in counseling. You know, no temptation is overtaking you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Sometimes it's easy to doubt this verse because it sure feels like God has given us more than we can handle. You know, I think he takes us right up to the edge. And, you know, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He takes us right up to the edge. And he wants to make sure that we're going to be depending on him and looking to him. And this is another thing that I tell my counselees. God will never put us in a position that our only recourse is to sin. He will never put us in a position, the only option is sin. That God would not be pleased with that. So God intends to use this trial to help her mature and to be complete in the work he's began in her. And then you think of James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not